afternoon once again, ladies and gentlemen. I can see people are making use of this frugal budget of the chairperson. I would like to welcome the Director General of the Department of Home Affairs and the delegation from the Department of Home Affairs. I would also like to state that I had a phone call from the Minister of Home Affairs. She has tabled the apology. She will not be able to be with us today, but in future she will join us. I would also welcome stakeholders who have come in to listen. And obviously there will be no meeting without members of Parliament. Welcome to everyone. The briefing that we'll get today is the initial briefing from the Department of Home Affairs with regard to amendments that the department would like to table before the committee. The intended amendments are to the South African Citizenship Amendment Bill and also the Births and Deaths Registration Amendment Bill. So today is our initial briefing. After today's interaction, there will be further briefings. So today we are receiving the bird's eye view as to what the department intends. So by that very nature, the briefing can't be exhaustive. I just want us all to be aware of this. Is that a correct interpretation of your brief, DG? Thank you very much, good folks. We are in your able hands.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and the members. As the Chair has indicated, we are here to make a presentation on the amendments, both on the Birth and Death Registration Act and as well as South African Citizenship Act. Chair, how are we going to approach this? We're going to give the purpose of why we're here, and then we will deal with the issue of the Birth and Death Registration Amendment Bill, give you the background, what is the problem statement, what are the issues which we're making us to really look at the issues of amending, and what are those proposed amendments. So we're not going to go to them in detail, but just highlight them. We will do the same thing with the South African Citizenship Amendment. Chair, the purpose of us to be here today is to brief the Portfolio Committee with regard to the proposed amendments to the Birth and Death Registration Act 1992 and the South African Citizenship Act 1995 as a result of challenges experienced by the Department on the implementation of these acts. Further, Chair, will be the proposed amendments also seek to align these acts with other pieces of legislation, Children's Act, 2005 Immigration Act, 2002 the Identification Act of 1997, and the Promotion of Access to Act of 2000. With regard, Chair, with the Birth and Death Registration Amendment, the main objective of the bill is to amend the Birth and Death Registration Act with regard to the following: provisions relating to the registration of births, provisions relating to the amendments of the birth registration, designation of funeral undertakers, recording of adoptions, provisions relating to secrecy of records obtained under the Act, and provisions relating to the making of regulations. Chair, the problem definition with regard to the registration of birth. Currently, the Act provides for parents or person having charge of child or person requested by parents or person having charge of child to give notice of birth. This allows agents to actively participate in birth registration, resulting in inability to conduct verification processes as a department. In some cases, this leads to forced registration of children. So the proposal will require now that only parents, or if parents are deceased, a legal guardian or a next of kin to be verified to give notice of birth. Then the other main issue is the late registration of birth. Currently, the Act categorizes late registration of birth into three categories with different requirements. The first one is the 31 days up to 1 year. But remember, the Act says every child must be registered within 30 days. So once it exceeds 30 days now, then it is a late registration of birth. That is the first category. The second one is a 1 year and above, up to 14 years. The third category is the 15 years and above. And then the Act currently places more emphasis on the processes for age 15 and above. So, Chair, you'll recall that as a department, we have taken a decision that the people, a child to enter into our national population register must only be at the registration of birth within the 30 days. Because if we don't do that, it's what it causes problems that now as a country, we can't plan properly because we do not know for Department of Education, Health, and across, they do not know how many children do we have because they don't get registered until others at late age as 16 years. So the proposal now is to categorize late registration of birth into one, that is 31 days and above, and provide for stringent requirements in the regulations, because China will going to amend the Act and also come up with the regulations. It is screening process for applications, verification of details, including the fingerprint, and we want now to categorize the approval in terms of whether we're going to say now if a child is within a year, it can be approved at head office. If it is above that, it will be at a DG's level. If it is above a certain age, it will only be the minister. Mm-hmm. Also, what we're also looking at, Chair, there is also to bring up some penalties as well, because at registration the child at the age of 30 days, there is no fee. But we want to build up those things so that we can try and enforce parents to make sure that children are registered within the period of 30 days. Chair, when we go now, just to go now to not in detail, but to say what are other things which we are changing in terms of the sections. As I said, that the major other issue which we have is that we need our acts, because these things were drafted prior the introduction of the Children's Act. So we want now to remove certain numbering and delete a certain section that says the recognition of customary marriage is regulated by Recognition of Customary Marriage Act 1998, as such is reflected in the new definition of marriage. And Chair, there is no procedure is made for making requests for supplementation or ratification of particulars furnished in terms of the Act. So we need now to amend Section 7 of the Act in order to provide for the procedure for making such requests. In the Act, the Minister of Finance is still referred to as the Minister of State Expenditure, so we need to amend Section 8 of the Act in order to refer to the Minister of Finance. Chair, as we have already touched on that, but we're referring that to Clause 4, which is amend Section 9 of Notice of Birth, on what we say now will require only parents, or if the parent is deceased, only the prescribed person in terms of a legal guardian or next of kin. Then again, Chair, what we want is amendment, empower Director General to demand that biometrics of the person whose notice of birth is given and that of a person giving the notice, that is the parent and the legal guardian or next of kin, to be taken in a prescribed manner. So what we're trying to say there, Chair, is that now when we come and register this child, because as a parent, you are already in the National Population Register. So by taking your fingerprints, we'll be able now to link and make sure that you are the parent of that particular child. As I've indicated now that we want now to categorize only the LRB as 31 days and above. Chair, in terms of clause 5, it splits children who are born out of wedlock. So the current act permits amendment of birth registration particulars of child born out of wedlock after first registration. So the amendment requires prescribed conclusive proof of paternity in a case where father's details are amended to a second father. This will deal with issues of rent a child, which is becoming a trend to obtain a permit under the Immigration Act 2002. Chair, we have already amended our birth certificate to allow that you can have the parents which are also appearing on the birth certificate. But now with this, what we are making sure now is that people will be coming and say, this child, this was the father, but because of whatever reason, maybe the father was away and all that, now want to insert this name. So we really need to close that gap, because it's where now people, because they know that in terms of the Immigration Act, if now we've got a child with a South African, then it can link into your granting of permanent citizenship. Notice of birth, abandoned children. Act only provides for registration of abandoned children. But China, because of the current situation which we're facing, amendment as provision for orphaned child in order to ensure that child-headed families get assistance to register their birth. This will be in line with the Children's Act of 2005. So now we're giving that provision now. Amend Section 19.14, death outside the Republic. Section 19.4 of the Act makes reference to the repealed Aliens Control Act 1991. So I want to amend that because it was the older to make a reference to the Immigration Act of 2002. Insert Section 22A of Funeral Undertakers. No provision authorizing designation of funeral undertakers to act as agents for death registration activities. Chair, what is happening is that families, because to register death, there's a certain process which you need to follow. But now undertakers have taken that function to themselves, which they are assisting families. But the risk which is there with regard to fraud, which now the insurance companies, they get defrauded, because now even this undertaker, we do not know who is who in the zone. So now what we want to do now with this amendment is that funeral undertakers to be designated on compliance with prescribed requirements, processes to ensure that persons handling death registration forms are authorized in order to minimize corruption in the process. So it means now we require that the undertakers must be registered, and then based on that registration, there will be clear processes in terms of how they must go about and register that death. Chair, others are correcting the language. So now substitute Section 23, which still talks to stillbirth. A section uses gender insensitive wording to substitute Section 23 of the Act in order to align the Act with drafting style and format. There are also technical corrections which we need to deal with them. Section 24, 25, 26, and 27A do not make provision for the manner for making applications. A legal opinion was obtained to the effect that the department will not be able to refuse any person not willing to fill in a form not authorized by the Act. What we mean by this is that as a department, we have got various forms which people, when they come to our offices, they need to provide certain details. But because that is not provided in the regulation, so as an individual, I can refuse if I say, no, I'm not going to give you my address, as an example, which is required in the form. There's no way that I can compel that individual to say, you need to provide that information. So now our amendment is to make applications prescribed in the regulation, so that when I go to the Office of Home Affairs, if I have to give that detail, it's because it's based on an act. You will recall, Gachet, that one of our problems now with the crime is that when you go to our National Population Register, we don't have addresses of people, we don't have anything. So if something happens, we can't be able to track those people down. But if now we're not having that provision, whether we want it, a person can refuse. I can't say, I won't take your form because these details are not in there. In subsection 27B, recording of adoption, provision for recording of adoption is made through the Children's Act 2005. No procedure has been set out in the Birth and Death Registration Act. So we're trying to align our act into the Children's Act, that the recording of adoption in the birth registration to be made in line with Section 245 of the Children's Act. Application for certificate from population register. Chair, when you come for the first time, you apply, whether it's for a birth certificate or a death certificate, we'll be able to give you that. But there is no provision which has been made now in terms of if you need a next copy, what process must you follow. So the provision now is made for the use of a prescribed form, because again, with the issues of fraud, because a person passed away, we issue the first birth certificate, and then a second person comes and apply for the same birth certificate, but it's for another purpose. So we want now to have a prescribed form, which now we know that people must comply with that, so that if that death certificate landed into a fraud issue, we can be able to track and trace that particular individual. Amendment, Section 29, Secrecy of Records. With these acts which are coming, access provisions not aligned to the Promotion of Access to Information Act 2000 in order to improve access rights balanced with secrecy of records obtained under the Act. Chair, we are faced with situations where people will be coming and require a particular record and want to use the Access to Information Act. So what now to regulate that so that we can revise the section of two in order to align the provision relating to access to records with the provisions of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. This clause further seeks to allow for the making of regulations as to the procedure for making an application for access to such records. Clause 17 and 18. Clause 17 repeals Section 30 of the Act that deals with exemption from stamp duties. Clause 18 substitutes Section 31 of the Act in order to revise the penalty for offences, period of imprisonment from 5 to 15 years, in terms of the people who are breaking our Act, so that now the imprisonment must be increased. Clause 19 substitutes Section 32 of the Act in order to provide clarity regarding the making of regulations. Clause 20 substitutes the words he or him or his in the Act of the words wherever they occur. And then Clause 21 deals with a short title and commencement. Chair, that is the Birth and Death Registration Amendment Bill. Now I'll be moving now to the South African Citizenship Amendment Bill. The main objective of the bill is to amend the South African Citizenship Act with regard to the following: provisions relating to the acquisition of citizenship by birth, descent, and naturalization. So we're going to explain what we mean by those terms. And loss of citizenship, revised in relation to naturalization of citizens. What are our problems with regard to this acquisition of citizenship? Citizenship by birth and descent. Currently, a child born of South Africans outside the Republic is regarded as South African by descent and not by birth. this tends to create a secondary category of citizens. So what it means now that if the child, the parents are abroad, and then that child is not regarded as a South African citizen, though the parents are both South Africans, then he can only acquire citizenship by descent. That's what we mean by descent. Now I want to revise provisions relating to citizenship by birth for children born in or outside the Republic with one parent being a citizen, and citizenship by descent for children who are adopted by South Africans. So what one was differentiating now, if both parents are South African but they are born abroad, then you'll be a child by birth. But if now you are adopted, the parents come with a child from abroad and adopted that child will be a South African citizen by descent. Mm-hmm. So we're making that differentiation. Chair, this, I hope I'll be able to explain this. This was a complicated thing, that's why I wanted to amend it. Acquisition of citizen based on this period of residence for naturalization, because the naturalization, we are not a South African. The current act requires a period required for cases of naturalization is made up of 1 year of ordinary residence prior to making an application, plus 4 years additional period of residence calculated by taking the number of actual days that the permanent resident resided in the Republic in every year out of 7 years. What this thing now means, it was complicated for us, is that 1 year of ordinary residence means that I come to South Africa, I get my permit, then within that 1 year, I'm regarded as an ordinary resident, whether I come in and come out. So I must complete that year. We don't count how many days you were in South Africa within that 1 year. Then you need, if you're going to want to apply for citizenship, within the period of 7 years, we need now to count and say, you have been, in terms of the number of days, we must be able to count now and say within that period of 7 years, you have been in South Africa for 365 days times four, which is a complicated process to calculate this. This provision, the Section 51C of the Act, poses serious interpretation problems resulting in miscalculation of the period and ultimately granting naturalization too early. And it's an issue of debate of this: how do you calculate this 365 days? So what are we proposing now? The proposal requires a person to have 5 years continuous period of ordinary residence in the Republic in order to qualify for certificate of naturalization. So what are we still going to be working on now? Because as I'm saying, this ordinary residence doesn't mean that a person must be within the borders for that whole period of 5 years without leaving the country. But we're going to be sitting down now and look at whether, in terms of the regulations, we want that the person, out of those 365 days per year, at least it must have been in the country for so many months in order now to, in the period of 5 years, to be able to regard that this person really wants to be get a citizenship by naturalization. Then the other major issue is this issue of dual citizenship for naturalized persons. Most persons who apply for naturalization are from countries that do not recognize dual citizenship. So what it means now is that in the country where this person comes from, they're not allowed for the dual citizenship, but they will come to South Africa now and stay and qualify in terms of that 5 years and apply for naturalization. So what we are proposing now is that any person applying for naturalization should be a citizen of a country that allows dual citizenship. And if not allowed, such person must renounce the citizenship of that country if he or she wishes to have SA citizenship by naturalization. So we want to grant it to a person who wanna be a South African citizen if their country they do not allow that. Then proposal two, any naturalized person who engages in a war that the government of the Republic does not support under the flag of any other country should not be eligible to apply to the Minister for Retention of Citizenship, but should lose his or her citizenship. I'm splitting this thing into two and say, if you are from the country which does not allow dual citizenship, once you apply for ours, then you forfeit yours and be a South African. But if you are from a country which allows for dual citizenship, we still grant you a citizenship. However, once now you engage into the act of war based on your other citizenship, then you lose the South African citizenship. Chair, again, this one just to take now the each in terms of definitions, what we want to be changing in terms of definitions. One of the major definitions, Chair, is the customary union, because the current act makes a provision for customary union, but in terms of the new provision, marriage defined to include all types of legally recognized South African marriages. So that's what now would be amending that. Citizen by birth, which I've already touched on it, that will revise now section 2 to provide that a person who is born in or outside the Republic is what I've already explained, just that one. And then even this one I've explained now, that if one has got a permanent residence. So when I'm on this point, we've picked up that in the bill, there is a South African Citizen Amendment Bill. There was a mistake which can create a confusion on page 4 of the bill, subsection 2 of Act of 1995, section 250, because we were wanting to remove this, but we think that there was a mistake that they included that section where it's supposed to be removed. So we'll be going now back to our state attorney and check how we can correct that section 2B, because it creates a confusion in terms of what we are explaining in terms of who, in terms of that point 1A. Provide that any person born in the Republic and who is not a citizen shall be a citizen by birth if he or she does not have the citizenship or nationality of any other country, or has no right to such citizenship or nationality, and such person's birth has been registered in the Republic in terms of the Birth and Death Registration Act of 1992. Further provides that any person born in the Republic of parents who have been admitted into the Republic for a permanent residence, then a permanent residence, you can only get it after that period of 5 years, now in terms of the new amendment, in the previous one, that 1 year and 4 years, who is not a citizen qualifies to be a citizen by birth if he or she has lived in the Republic from the date of birth up to attaining the age of majority, that is 16 years, and his or her birth is registered in the Republic in terms of the Birth and Death Registration Act of 1992. then we'll substitute citizens by descent, substitute section 3 to provide that a child adopted by a South African citizen acquires citizenship by descent. Citizenship by naturalization, revise section 4 to provide that a child born in Republic of parents who are not citizens or who have not been admitted into the Republic for permanent residence qualifies to apply for South African citizenship upon becoming a major if he or she has lived in the Republic from his or her date of birth to date of becoming a major and has registered his or her birth in terms of the Birth and Death Registration Act. Certificate of naturalization, just to amend section 5 to effect certain technical corrections and to require a period of 5 years continuous ordinary residence in the Republic, further provides for additional requirement that a person applying for naturalization should be a citizen of a country that allows dual citizenship, and in the case where such person's card does not allow dual, the said person renounces his or her citizenship of that country. Clause 5, this clause also empowers the minister to grant a certificate of naturalization as a citizen to a foreigner who satisfies the minister that he or she is the spouse or a surviving spouse of a citizen and that he or she has been admitted to the Republic for a permanent residence and has been married to such citizen during the prescribed period of residence in the Republic. This is one of the difficult issues, Chair, in terms of us recognizing the granting people based on the marriage. So what we're trying to say here is that when the minister is going to consider that issue of the marriage, that person must have married with the person for that period of the permanent residence. As I've indicated that you can only apply because your permanent residence only comes after that period of 5 years. So what we're trying to say here is that this person must demonstrate that he has been married with this person for that period and after he's got the permanent residence in order to that can be recognized. Loss of citizenship, no provision for loss of citizenship by naturalized citizens for engaging in war that the Republic does not support. So in the current Act, there's no provision for that. So I want to amend now Section 6 of the Act to provide that naturalized citizens may not apply for retention of citizenship if he or she wishes to engage in a war that the government of the Republic does not support under the flag of any other country. Deprivation of citizenship, substitute Section 8.2 to effect certain technical corrections and to revise penal provisions, period of imprisonment from 2 to 5 years. We're amending sentencing. Deprivation of citizenship in case of children, the Act refers to the repealed Guardianship Act. So now I want to make a reference to the Child Act of 2005. Amend Section 11.3, status of persons who cease to be South African citizens Act makes reference to the repealed Aliens Control Act and use the word alien. Want to make reference to the Immigration Act 2002 and to substitute the word alien of the word foreigner. Resumption of citizenship Act makes reference to the repealed Aliens Control Act. Wanted to make reference to the Immigration Act. One provides for the sum of words alien and Supreme Court wherever they appear in the Act with the words foreigner and High Court. Then clause 12 just deals with the short title and commencement. Chair, these references which I've made are based on these two bills. So in detail, you know, that refer into the bills. So, Chair, thanks. That's what we're trying to propose in terms of this amendment.
Thank you very much,
Thank you very much for the overview of the two proposed amendments to the relevant bills, Director General. Members, opportunity for comment and questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. In recognition of the Director General and other senior personnel of the department, the presentation was done fairly well and well prepared. I think the provision set out in the two amendment bills, take for instance the issues surrounding the naturalization of birds. I've been getting so many requests and queries, which I keep on forwarding to your office, Mr. Director General. And I think some of the suggestions are going to reduce that kind of, you know, pressure which comes to my emails daily. Because one of the challenges is that many people may have left the country at the precipice of the new democratic dispensation, not knowing what will happen after the elections, and some have had some reservations as whether or not the country will enter into some war of such of one by another, where people may have feared some form of retribution. You can remember some of the people who may have left the country were thinking that, "Eish, if we stay, what will happen to me because I'm pink, I'm yellow, I'm black," whatever the situation may have been. Now, many people are coming back to the country. We all know that the situations or the circumstances may have improved, and our country has been on the center stage of economic growth and so forth. So it does assist us, Mr. Chairperson. And of course, there will always be those, you know, who want to take chances and want to, you know, try and dodge, you know, try and play games with the systems that we have. But I think the amendments that are proposed give us space to look, to actually look at this very carefully, think through some of these suggestions, and as time permits, then we come back and agree or amend further on the amendments which have been suggested. But one thing that I also appreciate is the fact that there's enough space for the public to comment both on both of the bills, so that we have enough voice, even those who are silenced voices, could actually come forward and speak through us and others. Chairperson, there's something that I've noted also, which is very important, is that I was actually laughing when I was looking at this. On the South African citizenship, the fact that if a child is born in a boat or an aircraft, that child must now be referred to as a citizen of the place where the where the aircraft or boat is registered. And also, if the aircraft does not have an owner, then you also have to take that child to the country where the aircraft was made or where the aircraft belongs. I think we need to look at those technicalities and check whether or not some might not take, you know, chances and probably make use of that as one of the privileges, because they are already privileged to be on the aircraft and boats. Remember, the majority of South Africans do not enjoy the services of such. Nankalo Kwele aircraft, I think in 1996, if I'm not correct, if I am correct. So you can imagine how many people who may want to, you know, make use of that opportunity and lie, going there, knowing that I'm going to deliver tomorrow, and then it happens, and then make use of that opportunity because it does exist in the Act. Now, you need to put some measures in the regulations that makes it very difficult for people to simply make use of that provision because it exists in the Act. Chairperson Ndiyabulela, I think one of the other issues, just before I end, is the issues of the mortuaries, the Zindone Funeral Palace. There has been so many questions from the public around the funeral palace. So it is important that now it comes up, because you'll recall that there was a funeral parlor in Butterworth, which had carried out some very, outrageous, things in the public eye, where many people have seen those to be very much questionable. But the department was at the center, and the Department of Health was at the center at the center hold of that kind of a scandal. So it's important that they are documented properly, and that in terms of the law, we are very much clear of who can be a funeral parlor under which conditions, so that it is very clear. Singalahlekelwanga abantu beregistarishwe kwezifunela phalo kanti zihambe zithutha abantu zibathengisa kwendawo zonke. Thank you very much, sir.
Honorable member, thank you very much on that very macabre note of selling bodies and body parts. My friend.
Chairperson, I've got two questions. The first one deals with the proposed bill on birth and death registration of the amendment bill, and specifically clause 18, which intends to amend section 31 of the Principal Act. I don't have the Principal Act with me, but I would like to ask, the proposal is that we change the penalty from a period not exceeding 5 years to 15 years for a offence. Could we be informed what kind of offence in the Principal Act is so serious that we want to allow a court to send someone to prison for up to 15 years? That's the first question. The second question deals with the other bill, South African Citizens of Amendment Bill, Clause 6, which is amendment of Section 6. And that is one where a person can lose their citizenship when he, and the wording says, he or she engages in a war under the flag of a country that the government of the Republic does not support. Now, I saw what the Director General said in his presentation, but in terms of the wording here, I'm not sure, what do we say? Does not support what? The war, the flag, or that country? It says, he or she engages in a war under the flag of a country that the government of the Republic does not support. So I'm not clear, sure if it says what we intend to say. And the second part, is it technically correct? Is it the position that the African government from time to time takes a position to say, we support this war? I'm not quite sure in my mind that the government has ever came out and said, we are supporting this war. It may say we support this or that measures being taken, or these steps by United Nations, whatever the case may be, but is it policy of the Department of International Relations to say, we support this war? Because this is what we are saying in this clause. Thank you.
Baie dankie, die edelagbare meneer Mulder. Mama, Palinka. I know you've got a very good voice, but let's amplify it.
Thank you very much, Jay. I think the department has indeed shown once more that they are very serious about linking all these issues that are still very much unlinked. I have here a good example of in the rural areas, where we know that there are home births and home deaths. And many a time, children of 3 months old are buried without the certificate. They are actually buried by the parents themselves. We call it ukufihlwa, where they are just, you know, put there without any certificate. I just wanted the department to give light on that. How do they build these strong links between the clinic, the home birth, the clinic birth, and the hospital birth? The second question is just about the the difficulties of winding up an estate when it comes to children born in dual citizenship wedlocks. And I wanted the departments just to tell us how they are planning to avoid that, including the child wrangling and child snatching when it comes now to parents moving their own ways. The last one really, it is just about whether we, by doing this, we know that we have a huge backlog of invalid marriages that have been, you know, the quick marriages between the South African citizens and other citizens. Knowing that we have that backlog, how are we then going to make sure that we also do something to address that issue by way of going forward? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Balindlela. Honorable Matebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of my first questions has been covered by Comrade Honorable Balindlela. With these child heading families, because I think that is a challenge for us, whereby you find the child at the age of 12, 13 years, is heading the family. I don't know whether the child got an information about the children at home in terms of birth, death and registration. That's my first question. The second one is the hence we have accommodated this SADC here in our country. Is it possible for them, let's say they get birth anywhere, as a comrade, as an honorable mentioned, that you automatically become an you've got a dual citizen of South Africa? That's our problem. The third one is fraud marriage. That is really a challenge to us, because you don't know whether somebody can go to Home Affairs with the ID, stolen ID, and so for tomorrow you are married to this guy, and really, I don't know what we're going to do with it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Director General, I think this might be a good time to give you the opportunity for a rejoinder to the comments and questions posed.
No, thanks, Chair and the Honourable Members. We will deal with the questions as the team, because we've got our legal unit, that's why we brought them here, so they can assist us on these issues like the penalty. Chair, I think the issue of change, that issue which was raised, that people got birth in a plane and all that. That's why now one of the amendments which we are putting there is that is changing, says that one parent must be a South African irrespective of a place of birth. So that we can be able now to close that loophole and say whether it, but if the, one of the parents is a South African, then you will be getting that citizenship. But if it is not, then you need to follow that process. It says that child must be in South Africa up to that age of maturity. So that's how we'll be trying to close that gap. Yes, the issue of the funeral palace, as we said, that we're going to come really with the conditions, because this is where issues are just going wrong. But now by making that, we'll be making sure now that the issues of the palace are really managed properly. I'm sure my colleagues will assist me now on the issue of why we increased the penalty to 15 years and what offense it was, and then also what we are changing. When we say war, we support the war. But I think what we're saying is that not necessarily when you say support the war, as a country, like now, we are the members of the United Nations. There will be areas where, as a country, we need to go and participate on that. That is a different issue you're talking about. But if there are issues like what we experienced with Iraq, where there were South Africans who goes and fight in countries like that, there was no decision by government to say, let's go for a peace process into those countries. So that's what we're talking about. But our legal will also come to you. A home death, Mr. Mkhize, I'm sure you will deal with that, and clinic, what we're doing. The issue of the invalid marriages, you know, what we also try on this issue, because yes, there are really clear invalid marriages which are fraud, but there are also marriages where our own people participate on it. We'll even have cases, which was a strange thing, but we found that it also happens. We're thinking that these fraud marriages are around our sisters. But we found now of late that even our brothers, they get paid, whether it's a 5,000 rand, get into this marriage, and then we give people this citizenship. Then after a period of 5 years, they get divorced, and then again, that one now brings back the family. So it is a major issue which we are looking at. What we're also looking at, trying to amend this, because a person will say, no, it was not me who was there. So we say, we want to look at a process that now people must bring. We get deck photos of the people on the date of the marriage. We must take the fingerprints of the people on the date of the marriage and have that record. So that when a person comes back now after a while and says, no, it was not me, this was a fraudulent marriage, then we say, at least the fingerprint, yes, the face might not be, but at least the fingerprint will say it was you who was there. That's why now we are trying to implement now in our offices, when we are doing this verification. That's why now you are able to go to our office if you have lost your ID, and then if you are in our database, we are able to get you that temporal ID because of that verification. So, but that's what we're pushing out to implement, so that now when this case is there, then people, before they get married on the day, then they can be verified. But it is still a major issue. I'm not saying something which we can easily rectify. But yet really, I think this issue of winding off estates, I can't remember, but if you can say whether are we covered now on it by changing that, we were saying, I don't want, remember that amendment on the orphanage, because now they are the heads of family, but then they will cover that as well. Mr. Mkhize, what do you want to cover, and then we give to our leader?
Thanks very much, and good afternoon, honorable members and chairperson. Maybe with the issue that DG has already touched on around the country is dealing with the issue of also these anti-mercenary activities. And the reason why then this, it aligns with, well, there is an edge already regulating people who embark on a war that the country does not support for whatever reason. And therefore then this is just to align in terms of that. Because what happens is that naturally people will then abuse South African citizenship when it suits them. And when South Africa has to take an action for having breaking the laws of South Africa, then a person hides behind the flag of another country, because at that time was acting as a citizen of another country. So the South African government can then act on that person, because he is using or is double dipping in a nutshell, because it's using a particular law to pursue interests that are against South Africa. But when then it suits him, then he comes back and says, I'm a South African. So it is an attempt to align that, because we already know that there is an act that regulates anti-mercenary activities by people using dual citizenship as an act of committing either crime against the state itself. So there was just an intention there to then make sure that we align this particular act. But also then in relation to the issue of then the home births, what we're looking at here is, I'm sure the DG mentioned that we need to make sure that 30 days as a cut-off point for one to register the birth becomes a culture that is institutionalized. And therefore, all attempts are being made. We are looking at utilizing birth registration in hospitals, but also in terms of all health facilities, so that even if we go into the rural areas, we are able, in fact, the minister, if I can just indicate, she even indicated that we must now identify and prioritize health facilities where people register birth in the rural areas, and then we can move inside peri-urban and up to urban areas, just to make sure that all births are registered, and we look at every institution and avenue available, including when it is time for inoculation, that we can be able to target those areas. So yes, the births, home birth, whether children are at home or not, we'll do everything we can to get that birth registered and recorded. The issue of then, I think the legal services will explain also, Chairperson, around the issue of stillbirth and the issue of then those who are born after that period as prescribed in the Act. But the main thing is that we will register all births, but at the end of the day, we need to make sure that those births, even if it's at home, someone knows that there was a grave in a particular area, in a particular family, and that then, whether it's a traditional leader or a counselor, they should still be able to report and have that recorded. Even if we're at that stage, there's a just difference, we might not allocate you an ID number, because in terms of the Act, you're not yet then reaching there. I think it's week 24 in relation to the Act. And then if it is after that, you no longer then regarded as stillborn, we will then register you and still allocate you as a number, an ID number, because then you are regarded as a person at that stage. So that tries to cover those areas. And then the issue of the children born of dual citizenship. I'm not sure whether I understood the question quite well here. I will just try, and the chairperson will advise if one is off tangent. But there is a clear indication that the section that DG was reading says, as long as the parent, one of the parents, is a South African, we can't deny you a right to citizenship. So we just using that as a benchmark. That's why most of the section that DG was referring to, that must be eliminated, because it was going to create that confusion. What happens if it's a permanent resident? What happens if it is not? So the idea was to clarify that you have to be a South African, you have to be a South African if one of your parents is a South African. And then you become a South African by birth. And that's a category that we're trying to clarify. So whether you were born anywhere else, as long as one of your parents has not lost citizenship, remains a South African, then you are a South African by birth. I think then the DG has indicated maybe the issue of child-headed families, as well as the section clause 18, and the colleagues will make reference to that. DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honourable members. Just to take on two questions, the first one being asked by the honourable member regarding the wording used, he or she engages in a war under the flag, and what we're trying to say there. It is difficult with the wording as it is, but what we're trying to say, he or she engages in a war that the government doesn't support. And under the flag, it's got to do with the wording and how you place it. We had trouble, and we might be revising that when we're in the deliberation process. But it touches on he or she engages in a war, and basically that the Republic does not support. That's what we're trying to say there. With regard to the penalties, Section 31 of the Act
currently deals with the offences, penalties, and evidence. And after paragraph G thereof, and I'll list a few of them, it says, shall be guilty of an offence, and on conviction, be liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period, and what's important is not exceeding, currently it says 5 years, now we say not exceeding 15 years. In other words, there's a discretion here at the end of the day. It's not necessarily that it is 15 years, but the limit is 15 years. So it can be up from 1 to 15 years. If you look at some of the current offences that that's listed here, B for instance, any person who makes or causes to be made any false statement relating to any of the particulars required by this Act to be known and registered. If you do that, you shall be guilty of an offence and you may be punished with imprisonment for a period up to 15 years or to a fine. Now, this deals with identity of people, and we're trying to secure the identity of South African citizens. And if then in the court finds that, listen, this is really making an impact on the identity of the person, or there's identity theft, etc., obviously a severe penalty would be 15 years in this regard. But there is a discretion. It is not obligatory that it must be 15 years in all these instances. Just another one that I would want to mention, for instance, paragraph G says, without reasonable cause, fails to hand over or send any certificate or document as contemplated in section 7.3, that might carry a penalty of 2 years at the end of the day. That's not so severe that it would be 15 years. Thanks, Chair. I'll just hand over to my colleague to deal with the other issues. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. The issue regarding the winding up of estates, the role of the department in there is to assist in the verification of information under which the child has been registered. For example, as DG indicated, the birth certificate that we issue now indicate the parent, who is the parent. So mainly the Department of Justice, the masters of it particularly, it deals with the issues of estates. And at some points we have had engagements with them wherein we assist them with some cases. Then the other issue regarding the child-headed families, I think there is a process under the Children's Act with regard to how do we register children who are abandoned. So the same procedure will be followed wherein social workers will come in and assist us in getting the details relating to the children in as much as they can. Then they'll forward the information to us after the Children's Court has already dealt with the issue based on the report. Then the department will then register the children. And I think those are the questions that were still outstanding, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the question that was posed by Honorable Mulder and the replies that you gave pertaining to possibility of mercenaries and wars, it will need better drafting, so that from the beginning it's not open to 101 interpretations as to what's meant or not meant. I'd also like to give the opportunity to the Parliamentary Law Advisor if there's anything that you want to comment on.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just in relation to loss of citizenship, Section 20 of the Constitution says that no citizen may be deprived of citizenship. So I was just wondering if the department had looked at that.
Members, in the meantime, any further comments, questions? Honorable Masizo.
in the view of the comment made by the DG in terms of Section 3A of the proposed Amendment B, the South African Citizen Amendment B, where your comment, if I heard you correctly, your comment presupposes that the current submission will be considered or however be removed, whilst you considering consolidating the other suggestion, the other proposals within the Amendment B. So that is the case. Thank you.
Chairperson, I've heard what the department says. I cannot support sending someone to prison for 15 years for filling in a form incorrectly, even if it's not, even if obviously it's on purpose, whatever the case may be. But 5 years in prison makes sense. 15 years doesn't make sense.
I think we must all remember where we began this afternoon. I did say that this is an initial process where we just get a feel as to what the two amendment bills will deal with. And then we should also bear in mind the process that we normally follow. The department has to advertise. And in terms of our procedures, we'll also have public hearings where members of the public, after the bills have been circulated for comment, are able to come to this portfolio committee and we take heed of what members of the public have to say. And then after that process is where the portfolio committee further engages with us, with the department, and moves towards finalization. So today is exactly what I said at the beginning of this meeting, flagging issues. This is what it contains. So that's the process, but I'm not saying that people must not express their initial views on what they've seen, what they've read here today. Any further comment from the department?
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may, with regard to the question regarding the loss of citizenship, that is provided for in Section 6, and the only amendment that is being introduced is in relation to persons who acquired citizenship by naturalization. We are not touching any issues relating to citizenship by birth.
Thank you. Any further comments from members of the department?
Madam Chair, I think we are fine based on what was read to us, just to come to us just to introduce, then we'll follow when the next term comes.
Our committee clerk, Eddie, has also reminded me that Parliament has indeed advertised the two bills. So adverts have appeared in newspapers, and at the appropriate time we'll have continuous engagement with the department, but we'll also keep track of the feedback that we get from the public stakeholders, and then at the appropriate time we'll have public hearings so as to give the wider South African public the opportunity for comment on the intended amendments of the two set bills. Good folks, I don't think we can traverse any further today. This was an initial briefing. So as usual, the next meeting will be advertised and everybody will be able to come and listen. And when the public hearings take place, stakeholders and members of the public would be able to share their views and opinions with us. I would like to thank everybody who came to this meeting. Thanks, good folks. See you next time.